And take your Bibles, turn to Revelation 1:1. Revelation 1:1. And that is our memory verse for lesson 2. If you need lesson 2 in the study of Revelation, raise your hand. Anyone who needs lesson 2, we have one here in the front. Lesson 2 should say on there, the Revelation should say the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Section 1, Revelation chapter 1. And then under that, the author is revealed. We have so many sections and breakdowns and outline formation uniquities in this that it's amazing. And anyway, I'll try to explain that in just a minute. Again, we have divided the book of Revelation into 7 sections because the number 7 is crucial. We've studied and talked about that. And so it's divided into 7 sections. We are on section 1, that is the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. We did do a little introduction to Revelation about the last month. We've been on the introduction. We looked at several lists and several different just things that stand out in the book of Revelation. Of course, the number 7 stands out as a number of completion, perfection, and over in the book of Revelation, the number 7 stands out, and we have a list of that in lesson number 1. If you need lesson 1, we do have those in the back as well, and that lesson 1 contains some of those lists and different things that we spent a little time talking about in the introduction. But let's go ahead and do our memory verse, Revelation 1:1, and we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. And again, Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. Father, thank you for this holiday season. Thank you for Christmas and for your son coming and dying for us. Thank you for the folks that are here today and the folks over in the other building, and Lord, some young people on buses, and thank you that we can gather, and I pray that it would be profitable that we came, that we will receive exactly what we need from your word today. Please speak to our hearts. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned, we've divided the book of Revelation into 7 sections. Section 1 is the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Under that are 4 sections. And the first section, the author is revealed. The second section will be the audience is revealed. The third section is the assignment is revealed. And the fourth section is the application is revealed. And all of that pretty much comes out of chapter 1, which again is the apocalypse, the unveiling, the revealing of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be, again, breaking that down into other sections. And this is, you know, outlines are not inspired, okay? In fact, this outline, I pretty much wrote most of this outline when I was down in Raleigh, North Carolina, stuck in a motel room. And I got most of the outline, you know, most of the, at least the sections and everything. It didn't come out of commentary or anything like that, but it came out of certainly studying the Bible and the commentaries and that. But again, no, it's just how I wanted to study it myself and how I've broken it down, and we're going to key on some of those things. And so section 1 of section 1 is the author is revealed, and that is what we're on now. You'll notice the title, the author is revealed. And then we just have 2 points under that, and that number 1 is the heavenly author, and under that is capital A, the Father, capital B, the Son, and capital C, the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, well, that's, you know, you've got a lot of room under those to write. That's because you will need a lot of room. And especially when we get to capital C, the Holy Spirit, because again, this little section here in verse 4, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, that as there are verses after verses after verses in Revelation that call for a little bit of speculation, and would I'm going to say there's maybe even the hint of controversy. In other words, commentators, they don't agree. And so we're going to look at it, but I do believe that refers to the Holy Spirit of God, and there can be argument and all of that. But we'll look at that when we get to it. So there's a large section there talking about that. And so the heavenly author, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, again, understand the Trinity. Understand that there's not three gods. There is one God. But God chose to show us his personalities or his, the separate ways. The way I understand the Trinity the best that helps me the most is I am a father, I am a husband, I am a pastor. And in those, and again, I'm wear other kinds of hats too, as do most of you. But I understand that. And when my parents were alive, as a son, I did things differently as a son than I did as a father. And certainly I did things differently as a father than I did as a husband. And God has, with the Trinity, God has shown us his actions, his activities in these different ways, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but still God. And so don't let that, some people want to use an egg as an illustration. You have the egg shell, you have the white of an egg, you have the yolk, and yet you just have one egg. And again, those are all good illustrations as well. But again, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, don't let that scare you. Don't let, three-headed God. No, there's just one God. But he is all those things. And very clearly in Scripture, he is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Spirit. All three are God. And there's no question about that. So, the heavenly author, and then Roman numeral 2 that we'll get to maybe next month. Well, next month is next week, so there's no guarantee of that. But Roman numeral 2, the human author. So we have the heavenly author, we have the human author. And again, we will look at John's history, John's humanity, and John's humility as we look at that. And again, I don't know, one of the most amazing things in the world is that God uses people. Amen. I mean, seriously, it just always amazes me that God would use me for anything. And you know, I think every time we study that, I remember when, I don't know how long ago it was, I did a study on the apostles. Seems like I did that on a Wednesday night. And yes, because we gave a badge out. We actually made our own badge for Master Clubs. And kids had little pictures to color. And Patty said, "Pastor, do we have any pictures of the apostles?" And we had to try to figure out if there were cameras back in those days. And so we just found pictures that we guessed. But anyway, you know, when you think about the people, we're all the same. We're just people. The people in the Bible, other than the Lord Jesus, the people, they're just like us. You know, David's just like us. Elias was a man of like passions, just like us. You know, he was weak. He struggled. He had doubts. He had troubles. John the Baptist. And yet, God used him. And every time you study a person, a human being that God used, I hope you'll look at the fact that God can use you too, and he will use you. And he wants to use you. I think of our own church and folks being used all over this ministry, just even today. And throughout this week, nursing homes, people went and spoke. And I think of the Whites and Phyllis. That's you back there, isn't it? And did you guys clown around yesterday at a nursing home? So they're wearing their clown outfit and they're being a blessing. And I promise you, I guarantee there were folks at a nursing home and they had some tears streaming down their cheeks, and it was a blessing to them and it spoke to their heart. And again, when I come to the human author, I think, you know, God specifically said, "John, write. John, write. I'm going to show you some things, John, You write them down. And I think, wow, you know, God uses us, and it is such a blessing to be used. So let's go to Roman numeral 1, the heavenly author. And again, God is the author. Like with all Scripture, God is the author. And by the way, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, but God used human instruments to write. And God used them. And so there should be, we should have no problem with this. We should have no problem with God being the author. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, again, just to go over this. And a familiar verse, and many of you have it memorized. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The book of Revelation is all of that. Guaranteed, no doubt about it. I mean, and you know, there's another outline. If you want to do a study of Revelation sometime, break the book of Revelation down into doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and you'll have a lot of fun. You know, a lot of people think, well, Revelation, it's just all about prophecy, all about the future. It's all about doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and it's all through there. And so that'd be another good outline to do. But here we have, again, as I already mentioned, we have the Trinity. Verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And verse 4, the second part, it says, and here is a blessing, all right? Let's start the first part. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. And again, that's a formal greeting of how a letter would start. They would put their name, you know, we're used to putting, sincerely and putting our name. Well, typically, a letter in this time would start John to the, and he's addressing who it's to, and he puts his name first. But notice what he says. He says this, because we know where this is coming from. It's coming from the heavenly author, okay? We know God is leading in every word that John writes. He's leading John in everything that he sees. We've already talked about that. He's leading John in everything that he hears. And so John said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. And then here, okay, who's it from? From him which is, which was, and which is to come. Then he says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So the first part, I believe, is the Father, him which is, which was, which is to come. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then second, from the seven spirits, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which are before his throne. And verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the Son. So again, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, there we see the Trinity. God the Father gave the message to John through Jesus under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's how we receive the Word of God. I mean, we need to be led. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Father has a message for us to get, and we receive it because we've trusted Christ as our Savior, so we receive it through the Son, and we're led by the Holy Spirit. You should always recognize and ask for the Holy Spirit's leading when you read the Scripture. Okay, you say, well, I need a man to help me. And there's nothing wrong with men helping you. Nothing wrong with pulling a commentary off the shelf, or better yet, getting it on your computer and bringing it up. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't miss out on the Holy Spirit's guidance. Holy Spirit, He guides us. The book of John, it talks about the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. He doesn't speak of Himself. He guides us to Jesus Christ. We can't, I mean, if you're going to reveal, if you're going to unveil Jesus Christ, you know the Holy Spirit's got to be involved. Because that's what He's all about. These folks that, you know, talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all this kind of stuff and getting involved with the Holy Ghost doing this and the Holy Ghost doing, understand, the Holy Ghost leads us to Jesus. He points us to Jesus. He directs us to Jesus and understanding Jesus. So we cannot even begin to imagine reading the book of Revelation without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you say, well, I just don't understand. Ask the author, talk to God and say, I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely essential in understanding the book of Revelation. It just doesn't make sense to me. And honestly, it would not make sense to, first of all, it wouldn't make sense to an unsaved person. I mean, they might get something out of it, but it's not going to make sense to an unsaved. It's not going to make sense to an unspiritual person. Again, you need the Holy Spirit's guidance. And so I see that here as I think of the author. And I just wrote this down. God the Father gave the words to John, or gave the vision, everything to John through Jesus under the guidance of the Spirit. And again, that is how we receive it. Capital A, the Father. The Father. And here we see in verse 4, the Father. We see eternality here. We see an eternal being, an eternal God, described this way: Him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Is, was, is to come. That's eternal. That's eternality. Is, well, that's now. Was, what's always been. Is to come, that's eternity future. And so we see the Father here. Look, if you will, at and again, this is understood as a description of Jehovah. Exodus 3, verse 14. Exodus 3, verse 14. In fact, you might have that reference right next to that verse in Revelation. Some reference Bibles do have that there. Exodus 3, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. When you say I am, you have to understand, I mean, there is eternality in that. That's eternal. I am. I've always been, and I always will be. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. And so the Father is represented here as the great I am, as Jehovah, Jehovah God, I am. He is distinguished here. You'll notice verse 5, he is distinguished from Jesus. Because again, it says him, okay, first of all, grace be unto you and peace from him, number one, which is, which was, which is to come, okay, God the Father, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, the Holy Spirit, and, verse 5, from Jesus Christ. Okay? And so there is a distinguishing here between the three. And again, that should not shock us, because that is very important, obviously, to the Lord. And we'll get to that later on. Now, so distinguished here from Jesus. Again, don't misunderstand. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit's God. The Father is God, but again, God wants us to see the working of all three personalities within the Godhead. He wants us to see it, and it jumps right out at you as you study the book of Revelation. Now, notice some things here. Chapter 1 and verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Who's speaking here? Come on, Brother Schauber. Okay. Well, do what? It's in red, isn't it, in your Bible? By the way, the red is not inspired necessarily. But it is Jesus speaking here. That also could be argued, I suppose, but not really. It is Jesus speaking here, and he's not afraid to identify himself as God. And I want you to understand that. You know, Jesus, and we'll look at a verse somewhere along the line, I started to say today, but maybe not today. But again, you know, the Jews got so upset when Jesus said, I am. Because he identifies himself as God. And so that's one verse that is very interesting. Chapter 4, look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Chapter 4 and verse 8. And again, liberals hate these kinds of things because they want Jesus just to be another man. They want Jesus just to be a teacher. Remember, Revelation is going to unveil Jesus Christ. We have the list, you should have that, and we have them back there. All of the names and titles of Jesus in the book of Revelation. You have to understand, everything is peeled back. The curtains are peeled back on Jesus, on who he is. And it should not shock us. This is the end, folks. Okay, remember? This is the final chapter. This is it, okay? And you have to understand, very, very clearly, we're going to see Jesus is God. Very, very clearly, Jesus is God. Chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. There it is again, talking about the attribute of eternality of God. Chapter 11 and verse 17. Chapter 11, 17. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And there it is, that eternality again. You know, just you've always been. Again, we're talking about future things. Well, God has no problem with future because God's always been. And so future is not a problem. Revelation 16 and verse 5. Revelation 16, 5. It says, and I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. And, it stands out the eternality of God the Father. But again, Jesus, not afraid to identify as God, that he is, Jesus is God. Jesus is Jehovah. And let's go to that verse. John 8, verse 58. John 8, 58. And getting after the Pharisees in John 8. Letting them know they're liars and they're of the father, the devil. John 8, verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they all shook his hand and said, wow, this is wonderful. We worship. Oh, no. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Why were they so upset? Just because he said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Because obviously he is identifying with God the Father, Jehovah, and stating that he is Jehovah God. And again, so don't misunderstand, and don't let that confuse you as you look at Revelation. Plenty of doctrine of the Trinity in the book of Revelation, and plenty of doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. Again, all Scripture, it's profitable for doctrine. You take Scripture, well, you know, I'll hear guys, well, you know, this really isn't doctrinal. Everything's doctrinal. And it's all applicable. Verse 2, he says this. He said, who bear record of the Word of God. Word of God. And that stands out to me because this is the Word of the Father about the Son. And you've heard the little phrase, and I learned this back in college, history is his story. And that is what history is. I mean, accurate, true history is his story. It's the Father's story about the Son. All history revolves around Jesus. All history revolves around, it all starts with mankind and man sinning. And man, because of his sin, not being able to do anything about that himself other than go to hell, and then God sending his son to die for man. Everything, all history. You know what history, our history proves about us? We're sinners. That's what our history proves about us. Well, you know, the history of man, we just keep getting better and better. You know, we've got more technology than we had before, but we're sinners still. Go through the ages, and it always comes back to that one constant. We are sinners. It just never fails. It's like I said the other day, talking about Santa Claus, you know. If in fact, we get our presents based on good or bad, we all get coal. Every year. There's nothing to look forward to, nothing to be happy about. Because that's what we deserve. You know, well, I've been good. No, you haven't. Just like Poindexter has. You know, I've been good most of the year. Oh, yeah, sure you have. Right, right. Truth is, you know, we'd all like to say that to God. But we can't say that, can we? We can't say that. And you know, if about the time we try, then he takes the mirror, the Word of God, and shows us. And when we compare, you know, if you compare yourself to other people, you can look pretty good. But if you compare yourself to perfection, we don't look too good. We do not look too good. And the Word of God unveils the Son. The Word of God shows us the Son, who is our Savior, and He is the only Savior from sin. There is no other way. The Word of God. So again, it should not shock us, verse 2, who bear record of the Word of God, watch this now, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we have the Word of the Father about the Son, the unveiling, the revelation of the Son, and thus we see the heavenly author being the proud Father telling us about the Son. Look at a verse real quick. Psalm 138, verse 2, as we run out of time. Psalm 138 in verse 2. It's an amazing verse. Brother Collins and I, every now and then, we get excited about this verse. He's written it down. I think I wrote it down one time, and we give it to each other, but it's so true. Here's what he says. He says this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Why would the Father magnify his word above all? Because it's all about the Son. Because his word is unveiling the Son of God. His word is telling us that we're sinners. His word is telling us that Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's why the Word of God is so important today, folks. It's not just a book. It's telling us that Jesus is the only way that we can get to heaven. And that Word of God, the Word of God, you can take that so many ways. It's the words of God. It is a promise, the Word. I give you my Word of God. And it is about the Son. And I love the way that's worded in verse 2, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. You have to understand, John has the Word of God, he has the testimony of Jesus Christ, and if you want to try to get that in your mind, the Word is the written Word, the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. And so John has all of that, and then what he sees and what he hears. And that is all conducted completely by God the Father. He's showing him, and by God the Son, and by God the Spirit. It is all happening exactly. So you have the Word of God, you have the written Word, you have the living Word, who is Jesus Christ. Let me show you that. John 1:1. Real quick. And again, boy, it sure is lucky that John wrote all these things down in the book of John before he was on that island. We don't believe in luck, right? Amen. So it wasn't lucky, was it? It was all planned. Don't you love that, how God plans things? I mean, that again, it's one of those things that jumps out at me. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what he called himself. Where was John all the time? Well, he was leaning on Jesus' bosom. It no coincidence of that. No coincidence that, it's just sure lucky that he was. No, he put himself there. He loved Jesus, and because he loved Jesus so much, he believed Jesus loved him. And he leaned on Jesus. And by the way, the more you lean on Jesus, the more you realize how much he loves you. The more you know how much he loves you. And I'm getting off on so many tangents, it's trouble. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Jehovah Witnesses want to put in there the Word was a God because they don't want Jesus to be God. But they can't change it because he is. And the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here's what he says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bear witness of him. It just seems like if somebody's going to be willing to bear witness of him, hey, he's alive, he is Jesus, he is the Son of God, then it just seems like it makes sense that God would put him on the Isle of Patmos to bear witness of him. John had no problem bearing witness of him. So he has the Word, the written Word. He has the living Word who is revealing Jesus to him. And then he has all the things that he sees and all the things that he hears. But again, I want you to understand it is a proud Father revealing his Son. It is a proud Father who is revealing the work of the Son of God, the victory of the Son of Understand, folks. I mean, come on, fathers here. Didn't you love it when your kids won something? Didn't you love it when they brought home that report card and it had straight A's, or it had maybe they took a C and they brought it up to a B or an A, and wow, everybody's over to visit, and you say, Poindexter, go get your report card out here, or maybe they won a spelling bee, or maybe they won some kind of a athletic contest or something like that, and you're just so excited about. Understand, the book of Revelation is the Father saying, victory in Jesus. It's the victory. I mean, there's been all kinds of chaos, all kinds of mess that man has caused because of sin, and the devil has certainly been involved in, and the devil always trying to bring the Father down, always trying to defeat the Father, hurt the Father, and Revelation is a Father saying, my Son has overcome. My Son has overcome. And because of that, people, humans, are saved. And you can't read Revelation without recognizing the work of the Father and understanding the Father in the book of Revelation. I need ushers, if they will come, and go ahead and just start collecting. I want to keep going. References to the Father, chapter 1 and verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Chapter 2, verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Chapter 3 and verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Chapter 14 and verse 1. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Again, that is not possible unless that lamb is there. And the Father wants everyone to know Jesus is the lamb, the sacrifice. He's the one that makes it possible for that 144,000, yea, for thousands and thousands, including us here, to be saved and to one day walk on those beautiful streets of gold. It's very interesting as we think about the author being the Father. And I sit and I marvel as I contemplate the Father wanting to reveal His Son. And I think about fathers and being, and you have to understand, Jesus is perfect. I think of His baptism, you know, when John the Baptist this is my Son, you know. And oh, he's just so excited. Read Revelation understanding that. Read Revelation realizing that and knowing that. And it's very interesting when I come to verse 2, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that He saw. Look if you will, as we think of that, look at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There it is again. You know, the written Word and the living Word. The Word of God that is written, the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And but then just take note in Revelation 6 and verse 9. And again, I'm just kind of throwing some things out here, talking about because of the Word of God, the Word of the Father. When He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, watch this, the souls of them that were slain for what? Well, for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. And there it is again, you know. The Word of God and the what was their testimony? Their testimony was that they had Jesus Christ, the living Word. They had Him as their Savior. Their testimony was one of, we refuse to follow Satan. We refuse to follow ourselves. We refuse to follow anyone save Jesus Christ. That's our testimony. And of course, in Revelation 6, 9, they were slain. And more in our day and in this day, this hour, we are seeing more and more folks who are going to be slain for the cause of Christ. It's been going on. It's been going on in other parts of the world. We don't hear about it. Our media certainly doesn't talk about it much. You go in many, many Muslim areas and Christians. I mean, I'm reading articles every day about Christians being persecuted in, and not just Muslim, but other areas of the world, even unto death. And what's it all about? Well, they believe the written Word. They accepted the living Word as their Savior, and they're slain. And this will be a theme in the book of Revelation. But again, it's not a shock. It's not something new. It's new to us because we don't have that kind of persecution here. We think if somebody makes fun of us for carrying our Bible, we think, oh, it's so hard. But I'm telling you, the theme, one of the themes, one of the ideas here is people that will be slain. They will be slain because of their testimony. But again, would you really deny the Son when you've got all that the Father says about Him? Many will. We, capital B, just real quick. I do want to make sure you have the, as we look at the Father, capital A, capital B, we'll start on talking about the Son next week. And there are many things. We won't cover everything in Revelation because we will go pretty much verse by verse. But I want to make sure you do have that list, the names and titles of Jesus in Revelation. Because I want you to see it. And until you really see it, you know, we read it and we come to a verse, oh, there, that's nice. But, wow. I mean, it just jumps out. Names and titles of Jesus in Revelation. I have 33, well, no, I mean 33 names and titles, but there are many more than 33 references in the Scripture. If you do not have it, now it should be with the list of, what's the first one on there, Jim? The sevens, okay, which is also on. Oh, that's a list of the sevens in the Bible. So, yeah, there's several lists. If you don't have, I want you to make sure and have that. I'm not saying we're going to spend a lot of time on that. We will cover these verses as we come to them. But the names and titles of Jesus in Revelation, it's like the number seven. It just jumps out. And it just pops out, you know. It's like when I'm reading this, I think of it as unfortunately, on the internet, you know, you get pop-ups, and I don't like those necessarily, but as I'm reading Revelation, these things just pop out at me, and wow, Jesus Christ, don't take for granted Jesus Christ, folks. Christ is anointed one. It's Messiah. Jesus Christ. Why has that become a swear word? Why have people for years said, oh, and used those terms? Satan hates the name Jesus Christ, anointed one. And again, his identification with who is, who was, who is to come. You can't miss that. His identification is there. And he identifies himself. And again, verse 4, I believe is the Father, but verse 8, I believe it's Jesus Christ there being referred to. The faithful witness in verse 5, the first begotten of the dead, we'll talk about that. The prince of the kings of the earth in verse 5. Wow, I mean, that jumps out at you. Again, this is a father saying, here's what I want you to see about my son. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Almighty, the Son of Man, the first and the last, the living one, the one who holds the seven stars, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. By the way, you say, yeah, that stuff's too deep for me. But that's so precious to us. Should be so precious that he's the one walking in among the church. He's the one. If he is not involved in the church, then close the doors. Amen. The one who has a sharp two-edged sword, the Son of God, he who has eyes like a flame of fire, he whose feet are like fine bronze, he who searches the reins and hearts, and so on and so forth. Down the list, I've run out of time, but he is all these things and so much more. The words cannot even be contained in books. Who said it? Anybody know? Well, God said it, but what author? John. You know why? Just in shock. I mean, wow, Jesus. See, that's why Christmas is so important, folks. That's why we want to keep Christ as the focus of Christmas. And I hope you do. I hope you did. And I hope we will always do that. Because praise God, he is what it's all about. Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. And I pray that you will help us, Lord, to be mindful of his coming the first time and to be very, very mindful that he is coming again. And to long for that day, look forward to that day, to work for that day. And God, to realize that that is our hope. And I pray that you'll bless our morning service, that you'll speak to hearts, and that we'll do exactly what you want us to do as a result of this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.